Just an incredible Wednesday afternoon. We're halfway to the weekend. It is a beautiful day. I've got the windows open here. This is my studio in my apartment at West End. Ian's back at the station, and I hope you're enjoying this weather. You know, some people might still think it's a little cool. I just think this is ideal. I love this weather. It's great. I mean, I like it to get a little warmer because, you know, swimming in the Gulf of America or swimming in a pool or any place like that, you know, it's a little too cool for that. So, you know, I enjoy getting in the water, a little cool for that. So it can warm up a little bit more for that. But boy, for the parades this weekend, this weather is just amazing. And I hope that you're enjoying these early days of extra light at the end of the day. Because, you know, it's not always this way. You know, you could have a daylight savings time start, and it could be gloomy and rainy and cloudy, but daylight savings time is starting, and it's just beautiful in the afternoon when you get home. And I hope you're taking time to enjoy that. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. We've been talking about a number of things, not the least of which is the mayor's trip to D.C., and there are people who still support her. I hope the city council cracks down and punishes her. But, you know, the interesting thing is there might not be a way to force her to do anything. Now, the city council might be able to punish her in terms of cutting off money to City Hall. That would be a punishment. But is that going to hurt citizens? Is that going to hurt businesses in New Orleans? I don't know. It's a shame that we have to deal with this. And hopefully we don't ever, ever, ever have anybody like this as mayor again. Ever. All right, so a federal judge has blocked Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution. Why is it so difficult to find a way to execute somebody? We're going to talk about that this afternoon. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we've been talking about or anything we talk about, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Biloxi and Taylor. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Taylor.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. I was calling about the previous caller that was speaking about, you made a comment about white people or Barack Obama never being elected had it not been for white people. And
correct.
You said that you didn't really buy his argument and use that as justification. And it's not necessarily the fact that that's true. Like, white people, we needed the vote for white people. Like, white people needed to vote for Barack Obama in order to get him into office. The issue, though, that I think was overlooked was how long it took for an African-American or someone outside of the stereotypical race that typically is elected to office, how long it took for a person of color to be elected president. That's the problem that I think was ignored, and that being a symptom of bias that is unfair, quite honestly, because diversity, I think a lot of people, they don't see. And it's unfortunate because diversity, it allows for a fresh perspective, a different perspective. Because like it or not, we're a product of our own lived experiences. The things that you've lived through, it shapes how you see the world. And some people, unfortunately, they go through different things.
Yeah.
And it shows up in different ways as an adult. And
Taylor, I'm not going to disagree with that. And I don't know how much you listen to this show. And I wasn't in any way denying that racism exists, because it does. I talk about it quite often. I was just stating the fact that white people put Obama in office, just to counter what he was saying about that. But that doesn't mean that racism isn't alive and well. I'm a baby boomer. I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation in many ways. I grew up at a time when there were separate water fountains and separate bathrooms. And I remember asking my dad once, why are there separate water fountains? Why are there separate bathrooms? And I don't remember what he told me, but whatever it was, it didn't make sense. And I think my dad just said something benign like, well, we know we're different, or something like that. I never bought it. So, I mean, I grew up as a white kid in the suburbs, and I never bought into the idea that I was better than anybody else. One of my best friends at East Jefferson High School was a guy named Glenn Wilson, and he was African-American. And we shared a number of things in common. We both wanted to be airline pilots. And it was sad because I thought in my mind at the time that I would have a better chance of being an airline pilot than Glenn because Glenn was African-American. And that just, that crushed me. I didn't like that idea that I had a better chance or that he didn't have as good a chance. Well, obviously, that's, you know, that has changed since then. I don't know. Maybe he went on to become an airline pilot. I didn't. I ended up getting into radio very early in my life. I'd still love to be an airline pilot. But I'm very, very cognizant of race in this country. And I just, you know, I don't think that there should be an excuse for wrongdoing just because of somebody's skin color, white or black. And I think that we need to get to be a society that judges behavior and not color. And until we get to that point, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I agree, but unfortunately, there are people who don't share that same sentiment. Because like, prior to laws, like, the reason why we have laws is because there's always people who will not judge fairly. They won't go based off merit. They'll go based off of implicit bias. Or racism, let's just call it what it is. You know, that racism has not been, as we all know, completely eradicated. And we have laws in place for people who don't want to judge fairly, like give someone the job based off their merit. And those people always existed. And so that's why we have those laws. Because bad people exist in all colors. Like, black people are not inherently bad, just like white people are not inherently bad.
Correct.
You have bad people that come in all shapes, all colors, all races. And unfortunately, bias is a symptom of so many missed out opportunities that, like your friend that you were talking about, there was a point where it was not likely that he was going to get that job based off the color of his skin. That allowed that to be a reality back then, those people have not just disappeared. They're still in existence, probably a little bit more in hiding because it's not as socially acceptable to be as racist like now, like it was back then. But the sad thing is, people, those ideologies, those racist ideologies are still there. And what Trump is doing, unfortunately, is speaking to the fear of in people that, and it's a false fear, like, that they're going to take your jobs or, you know, and just, like, scaring people into, like, going back to beliefs and thought processes that are racist.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. I mean, this goes back to what was described as the Southern strategy that was used when Nixon was running for president. This idea, there was a time when governors and presidents Republicans ran on the idea that, you know, blacks are going to take your job and steal your money and rape your women. And it was a fear tactic.
We all know that's not true.
No, and it's happening. It doesn't mean that some haven't done that, but some white people have done that as well. Yesterday, we talked briefly about some of the Democrats that might be primary candidates for the possibility of running in the next election in 2028. And I don't think there are many, but one name that came up on our show was Pete Buttigieg. And the problem with him is, he's gay. So no matter how good he is, he might not get elected. He might not get nominated because he's gay. And I'm thinking, what a ridiculous reason to eliminate somebody from the process because they do something in their bedroom that you don't agree with, that you don't have to do, that you don't have to be exposed to. But just because they do it, there are people who don't like that person and would not want them to be president. I think that's really sad.
It is. It's very sad. And it honestly, I'm a Christian. I'm also in the military myself currently. I'm serving in the military. And, like, even if, because personally, as a Christian, it says it in the Bible about homosexuality, but even with that being said, you don't have to, you can still love the person and hate the sin.
Right.
That is just because someone does something that goes against your belief is never justification to persecute someone based off that, because the Bible also talks about loving people. And
Terry, you're right, but look, let me mention this to you. So the same people that condemn somebody for being gay, and they're, okay, let's say they love the person, but they hate the sin, they don't comment on the friends that they have that commit adultery, which is also a sin. So it's almost like if it's not my sin, it's a really bad sin. If it's one of my sins or a sin among my peers, it's not a big deal.
And that's the problem, because you are absolutely right. There is not one sin that is greater than another. Every single sin is at the same level in the eyes of God. There is no, and that's what is insane to me, especially those one, I know some people who voted for Trump based off of like, there was like something like biblical that they're like, oh, he supports one thing versus another because like, I'm trying to like get my words together, but basically if a candidate supports like pro-life versus abortion, you know, they think it's like a sin to kill a baby or something to that extent. And that's the reason why they voted for Trump, because he was, you know, and they called him the one vote, one voter, one issue voter or something like that. And and they use that as justification that they did the right thing because like this one, like, you know, it's just like there's not one sin that's worse than it. It's all the same. It's literally like every sin is just as grave as the next. And so for people to use that as justification, like almost like it's a form of like self-preservation. Yeah. And I was like, no, just if you're trying to convince yourself that you made the right decision or that you're a good person, which I think a lot of people, they like to use that as like, I'm not a bad person. And not saying that they are, people who voted for Trump are necessarily like inherently bad, but that is a bad decision. Like that you made, it was a bad decision, like separate from the person. And the great thing is, decisions, you can make new decisions. Like you don't have to keep making the same decision. And unfortunately, what Trump is doing, because he's speaking to like fear, like he's like pulling that out of people, he's inspiring other people, like the Proud Boys. One of the Proud Boys, the leader of them that was pardoned, he literally went on air saying that he was inspired to run for president, like sometime in the future. Like, the danger of Donald Trump is not limited to his current presidency right now. It extends long after he's out of office, and we are going backwards as a people.
Yeah, look, a lot of people agree with you. I have enjoyed our conversation. I have to get to a break here. Are you at Keesler?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your service to our country, and I appreciate your comments, and feel free to call our show anytime.
Yes, sir, I appreciate you.
All right, Taylor, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right. If you want to contact our show, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. Coming up, we're going to talk about the death penalty. And Louisiana is trying to execute somebody, and they can't find the right way to do it. And a judge has eliminated the possibility of using nitrogen gas. Why is it so difficult to end somebody's life? I don't understand this. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. You know, this is always a really touchy topic, even though some people are just so definite about how they feel about the death penalty. And I'll tell you, if anything happened to anybody in my family, I'd want them dead. I mean, I would want them dead. And I know that's not the Christian thing. And I believe the Catholic Church is still against the death penalty. So, you know, this is another example of how you can go to a Catholic church like I do and not agree with everything the church agrees with. I don't have to agree with everything the church stands for when it comes to abortion, when it comes to homosexuality. And so many of you go to church and you support the death penalty. Many of you go to Catholic church and you accept communion and you support the death penalty. I don't think the Catholic Church supports the death penalty. So in any event, you know, you can have your differences and still go to church. And I make that point quite often. But I know this is a tough topic because we're talking about killing a human being. And when you consider what they did, you can also say, well, they're not really a human being. And I get that argument. I am really ambivalent about the death penalty. So there's somebody that needs to be executed here in Louisiana. And a federal judge now agrees to block Louisiana's first nitrogen gas execution from going forward. And apparently it's because it's inhumane. Why is it that difficult to bring life to an end? Why don't they just give somebody too much fentanyl? And if you had too much fentanyl, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you just like go to sleep? Like forever? I mean, there are people dying every day from fentanyl overdoses. I mean, why not just give them fentanyl? I mean, they give people fentanyl in the hospital. They just give them the right amount so they don't die. But if you gave them too much, they would die. What about morphine? If you give somebody too much morphine, they die. But I mean, you just kind of go to sleep, right? So I'm really at a loss for understanding why it is so difficult to take a human life when it comes to the death penalty, if we're going to have the death penalty. Now, this is not a debate about whether or not there should be the death penalty. That's a different topic. But if we have the death penalty and we're going to execute somebody, why is it so difficult to bring life to an end? I mean, can anybody explain this? You know, in the past, we've had hangings. I mean, that's got to be a brutal way to go. But you know, I mean, death is death. And most of the people who died at the hands of people who were on death row, they met with a very violent, painful death. So I'm just conflicted about why it's so difficult to bring life to an end. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Thomas Rhett, who just did that song, Death Row, Thomas Rhett did that song with Tyler Hubbard, who was with the Florida Georgia Line. And they did that song together. And Thomas Rhett also, as part of that, did a commentary on the death penalty. And I want to share that with you before we continue our conversation. That was Thomas Rhett talking about the death penalty and his experience of talking to people on death row. Have you changed your opinion over the years about the death penalty, and how do you feel about it now? Well, I guess we're talking about the death penalty. I really didn't want to get into that. I really wanted to get into why is it so difficult to bring life to an end? I mean, it seems like that would be easy with fentanyl or morphine. Why couldn't those drugs be used? I don't know what nitrogen gas does. Ian, do you know what nitrogen gas does to you? Do you know anything about this particular form of execution?
I'm going to guess that it displaces the oxygen in your lungs and asphyxiates you. But I'm not a scientist, so who knows?
But that, I mean, that could be painful.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you know, we're talking about death and the idea that we have to make death. I mean, it's the death penalty. It's death. Why are we under responsibility to make it, you know, so humane that nobody feels anything? And if you want to do that, why not give them fentanyl or morphine? I mean, why couldn't you give somebody too much morphine? They would just go to sleep, right? I mean, does anybody have an answer to this? I know we have doctors who listen to our show, nurses who listen to our show. But there was, you know, hanging in the beginning. Well, actually, I guess before that, there was, you know, the guillotine, you know, chopping somebody's head off. And then you heard the stories about how, you know, the eyes would still blink. You know, the mouth might move after the head was chopped off because, like, the nerves were still active. I mean, that would be creepy. I mean, if you saw like this head chopped off and like it's still blinking at you, wow, that would be very, very freaky. So there was the guillotine, hanging, firing squad, the electric chair. I mean, man, we heard horrible stories over the years about the electric chair and how sometimes, in fact, I think they called the electric chair at Angola, I think they called it Old Smokey, was the nickname of the electric chair because it would smoke sometimes. Because, it would people would, like, smoke would come out of the top of their head. And it was just I could see that would be a horrible way to go. Then there was lethal injection. And now there's all these things about lethal injection. These things are giving lawyers an opportunity to delay the death penalty, which, again, that's a topic for another show. But why couldn't fentanyl, why couldn't morphine be used? You know, I don't understand that. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Chuck B. in Metairie. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot? And sorry, I'm not talking about your current topic, but I wanted to comment on the young lady, Taylor, who just called in just before your break there.
Okay.
God bless you, Taylor. Clearly, she's a young lady who's thoughtful. She's serving her country as a young person. She loves God, and I think she understands the hierarchy and the priority that you know, God's commissions come first. And I would extend an offer to our elected people who are elected to serve the public, you know, to listen to the young lady and have that same mindset and heart set. It's difficult when you've got leadership at the top that is encouraging others who are watching that is a standard of decorum, the standard of character, the standard of leadership. As a country, we should demand better. And for those who are allowing themselves to go to Washington and as opposed to working and standing up on behalf of your constituency who voted for you when you recognize that maybe you have made a mistake. You know what courage is? Courage is being able to, in humility and meekness, say, you know what? I was actually wrong. This is a wrong choice. And we need to maybe recall this or certainly stand up to what is happening. Because just the legalities that are being blatantly broken, the ethics that are being blatantly in front of our eyes being ignored, it's so sad. You've got in the second person behind the president, he's someone who donated over $300 million to that campaign. Then he has the second seat. It seems like he's more than the vice president, right?
Wait, but it's interesting, Chuck, that you talk about the second person behind the president, and that is usually the vice president. But in this place, it's the co-president, right? Elon Musk.
Yes. I mean, I refuse to even say the names, man. But it's just sad to say that those who are supposedly representing the constituency, they're there to now bow down and kiss the ring, as opposed to representing and standing up for the people whose public dollars you're saying they're serving. What happens to all of these positions and jobs that are being taken away or reduced at a point where there's no real notice? There's no consideration for the families that are being impacted by these jobs that are suddenly now gone, right? There's no compassion or empathy, anything for those people. But it's the way things are being going about. It's a bull in a china shop with no regard, no compassion. And how they're dealing with people is just a really, really sad commentary on what we've allowed and accepted for the highest position in our country.
Yeah.
The highest position in our country. You're talking about the best and the brightest. Do people really believe that man is the best and brightest? That we don't deserve better? No. Man, God bless you, Taylor. And at least that she's hope for maybe future leadership if she chooses to go into public service. And I emphasize serving the public, because in a democracy, that's what is actually needed.
Yeah. And if nothing else, somebody like Taylor, who is serving our country at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, calling us in from Biloxi, at least she could represent responsible voters who are in our future. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll check and see if there's some text messages that have come in. But really, is there any reason why this, and I've thought about this for a long time, all these complications over bringing life to an end, if we have the death penalty, why couldn't you just give somebody too much morphine? Why couldn't you give them too much fentanyl? Wouldn't they just go to sleep? I mean, I had fentanyl when I was hit by the motorcycle, and I was in intensive care. I had fentanyl. I hated it. because I was like, you know, just drowsy. But if they gave me too much fentanyl, wouldn't I just drift off? I mean, I just don't really understand why it's so difficult to bring life to an end that it has to lead to all of these expensive court hearings. All right, I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with more on WWL. This is the Allman Brothers performing live at Fillmore East, doing the song Whippin' Post. On this day in 1971, this was the Allman Brothers performing their first of two shows recorded for the album Live at Fillmore East, and this is from that album. Happened on this day in 1971, and the Allman Brothers were just, you know, epic. And really, going into the 70s, the Allman Brothers became part of that whole Southern rock trend. Southern rock was kind of like grunge was. It was a subgenre of rock that really did dominate music, and that was Southern rock back in the early to mid-70s. I'm Scoot on the air. We're talking about the death penalty. Let's go to Tom in Covington. Tom, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I wanted to comment on the death penalty. I spent 22 years in the federal appeals court, and I worked on some death penalty cases. Mm-hmm. And you read the record and the opinions and stuff, and it was like they were horrible people. I mean, they were beyond horrible. And I'm theoretically for the death penalty, but there's a problem in that it's not much of a disincentive. I mean, the people kill each other every day in the country.
That's right.
And it's expensive because the court appoints three attorneys, and the taxpayers are paying for it. And it can last 20 and 30 years before anything happens.
So, Tom, let's set the record. You can set the record straight on this. I mean, I know this to be true, and people don't believe it, and I've been challenged on this. But it is more expensive to it's more expensive to sentence somebody to death than it is to sentence them to life in prison.
Yes, that is correct. And I've worked
so,
on
Tom, so let me ask you this. With what you know about that, when we're talking about finding the most humane way to kill people, and lethal injection was, you know, the alternative to, say, the state of Louisiana, the electric chair, why couldn't they be given, like, too much fentanyl or too much morphine, and wouldn't they just drift off?
You know, I think that's up to the legislature. I always feel like, let them take their choice. You want a firing squad? Feel free. You know, you want to hang? Feel free. There was a guy in the state of Washington who was quite rotund, shall we say, about 450 pounds. And he objected. They were hanging in those days. He objected to it.
I remember that.
He was so heavy that it would decapitate him.
It's like, I remember that story.
Yeah, you're going to die either way.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, especially when you talk about how horrible these people are. Look, again, I can be ambivalent about the death penalty, but I'm confused as to why it is so difficult to bring life to an end when morphine and fentanyl will do the job.
I agree. And I think that this is legislative, not judicial.
But it's almost like they set it up to become a legal problem.
Yeah. I don't understand the concept of it either because I don't like politics. But I agree with you. Pump them full of morphine and they'll be gone before they know it. You know.
I mean, my God, they'll just drift off. It's like, you know, going night night.
Yeah, you're gonna sleep permanently.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I'm with you. Choose a method that just gets them dead. You know.
Sure.
And it's like if it's fentanyl or morphine or whatever, feel free.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call, Tom, and I appreciate your expertise in that particular area. Look, I've got to get to a break here. If you're on hold, please hold on, because we're going to get to your calls coming up in the next hour. And also, we've got more to talk about. We've got a lot to talk about in the next hour. It always happens. You know, we get a few good calls, and we get behind on topics. So we've got a lot to cram into the next hour, but I know you can handle it. I know you can take it. And, you know, I love to deal with hypocrisy on this show, so let me just briefly remind you about this hypocrisy. Yesterday, President Trump basically turned the south grounds of the White House into a Tesla showroom. And he had these Teslas, and the co-president, CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, the co-president, was there with his son. And so Donald Trump was talking about electric vehicles. He said, it's a great product. It's as good as it gets. Now, I want to remind you that it was 2 years ago that Donald Trump, on Christmas Day 2023, went on Truth Social and said that anybody who supports the electric car lunacy, he wishes that they would rot in hell. And he said the Biden administration's electric vehicle tax credit is a transition to hell and that electric cars are nothing but a hoax. So there's great hypocrisy here because now his presidential Oval Office roommate is Elon Musk. Now Donald Trump seems to have great interest and appreciation of the EV. All right, I'm Scoot. Again, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get back to more of your calls coming up. You know, here's a song, I guess, that, you know, we could ask about Mayor Cantrell. We've been talking about her today as well, you know, after this trip to D.C. How are you feeling about Mayor Cantrell? Yeah, I mean, you know, the city council needs to find a way to punish her, and that might be doing something with the money that goes to City Hall. I just hope they do something. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to James Taylor, 77 years old. Listen to the lyrics of this song. I mean, this is a great, great song about life, about fire, and about rain. And you can't have either one all the time. I love the lyrics of this song. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls. We'll get to some of your text coming up. I've got another great moment of hypocrisy to point out when it comes to Fox News. And I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm not trying to bash Fox News. But I want you to know about hypocrisy because it's so important to pick out the hypocrites because they're there. Also, we're going to talk about some of the sexiest scenes in movies. And Rob Lowe is saying something that I hadn't noticed. There aren't big sex scenes in movies like there used to be back in the 80s. All right, we're going to come back with more of your comments. I hope you're able to get out and enjoy this great Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL.